This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's been an amazing Monday. We have Medal of Honor Monday. We've been talking about politics, dome, broken homes, and we have some things. We have to talk some hurricane stuff here, losing all your money, Spirit Airlines, being an arms dealer, emails. There's a ton still to get to on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. If you missed anything, go download the podcast, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, before we go any further, we actually haven't talked about this yet. Hurricane Milton heading towards Florida. Okay, so let's deal with what is real and what is not real. Just a little PSA. First, say a prayer for people in Florida, many of whom are listening right now. You know my affinity for Florida, but man, they just, especially the west coast of Florida, they just got pasted by Helene, and now Milton is coming. What is Milton going to be? Well, there are scary headlines, some probably valid, some maybe not. There's a lot of talk about Category 5, that it's going to be a Cat 5 hurricane. That is tornado level devastation if it is a Cat 5 when it gets there. Just look, we're going to do a little PSA. Everyone in Florida is rolling their eyes because they already know all this information. This is for everyone who doesn't know. Hurricanes, the category they are, it's based on the wind speed. I know that's kind of dumbed down, but listen, we got to make sure everyone knows the what. Categories are based on wind speed, and hurricanes will have different categories at different times and locations because of a wind speed issue. So if it's a Cat 5 in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, that does not mean it's going to remain a Cat 5 when it finally hits landfall. Maybe it'll be a Cat 4. Maybe it'll be a Cat 3. Maybe it will remain a Cat 5. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be the hurricane expert. Granted, I've been through more hurricanes and typhoons than I can possibly count, but categories count differently. Like Hurricane Ivan is one of the big, big, big ones I went through. I told you that story before. I was in Jamaica when I went through it. It is, I believe, known as a Cat 5. And when everybody talks about it, it was a Cat 5. It was a Cat 5, Category 5. Well, once it hit Jamaica, it was a Cat 4. Now, that was catastrophic for Jamaica. Category 4 is no joke. I'm not dismissing Cat 4. But I don't like to tell people I was in a Cat 5 hurricane because it wasn't a Cat 5 hurricane when it was blowing its way through Jamaica when we were there. You understand what I mean? So just because it's a category now or they're projecting it's going to be a category doesn't necessarily make it. So that's one. Two. Florida is now run by some very, very competent people, unlike the federal government. No matter what this thing's going to be when it hits, 5, 4, 3, it's going to be significant. It is. Take precautions. You know, this is me. I don't oversell hurricanes. We throw hurricane parties here. I'm the one who's more likely to blow it off, ride it out, whatever, get a 12-pack, we'll be fine. That's more me. When you talk big boy storms like 5s and 4s, that's a completely different animal. Listen to what they're saying. If you're in a place and they're telling you to evacuate, evacuate. This isn't the Cat 2 that blew through last year and you or the neighbors were having margaritas in the lawn flying kites. You ain't flying nothing except for yourself in a Cat 5 hurricane. So this is just a PSA. If they're telling you get out, then get out. Also, do not panic. Most of the people who die during hurricanes, not all, not at all, but most of the people die on the roads. They decide they're going to wait. No, we're going to wait. We're going to tough it out. We're going to wait. Oh, crap. It's time to go. Well, if you're making the decision to go late, congratulations, you just joined every other person who made that decision, And now, instead of being in your home, hopefully with some food, some water, supplies, now you're in your Subaru Outback, you and your lesbian wife, and now you're screwed because you're out on the highway. That's a problem. Just be smart. Don't panic. If they're telling you get out, get out. It was just a little Daddy Jesse PSA, having gone through this before. And one final one, I do this every time, but for some reason it continues to come up, so I need to keep doing this. I know, because I'm a dude and because I'm a meathead, I know how much fun it looks to have water around you all of a sudden where water is not supposed to be. And I understand it's tempting to cope with the loss by adventuring into the water. I realize that you come downstairs and your living room is under 4 feet of water. It's crushing, you're sad, you're bummed, but hey, kind of cool. Look, we got a swimming pool in the living room. I get it. I get it that you walk out your front door, your Honda Civic is under the water, it's devastation everywhere, but there's a river running through your street and it would be fun to go boogie boarding on it. I understand. Meathead Jesse gets it. I understand. Please, please stay out of hurricane floodwaters. Please. They are disgusting and dangerous. They're full of poop, bacteria, chemicals, chemical spills. You can't, the sewer lines, you know, I used to do this for a living, water and sewer lines, you know, they're under the ground. There's not like some sealed up system where if that sewer line, let's say I put a large sewer line 20 feet under the ground, you're never going to see it. You're never going to know about it. You're going to drive over the top of the road your entire life and never know it's there. But you should know it is not in some hyperbaric chamber. It's just a big line full of poop under the ground. And if the ground becomes saturated with water and everything floods, then everything flowing through that large sewer line is now up and out of the ground and into the water. You're boogie boarding in down the street. Please stay out of the floodwaters. I know how cool that Instagram video is you want to put up. Oh my gosh, look, we got the rafts out. We're having a squirt gun fight in the living room. We're shooting it at each other's mouths. I know how hilarious you think that's going to be for TikTok. Please stop going into hurricane waters. The last time we had Hurricane Harvey down here, I had to go pick up a couple buddies. They flooded out their car. They got in a flood zone. They were in a pickle. I was going to help them, and I had to go grab them. And they had been in the flood waters. And they hop in my pickup truck. I take them home. I go inside. Ob tells me, you know, you're going to have to get your truck professionally clean now, right? Not to sound like Chris, but I immediately brought up the cost of that. And she said, trust me, you're going to need to get your truck clean. Got in my truck the next day and whew, it did not smell great in that truck. Had to get the truck clean. I know it's fun to get in the water. I love the water, too. Stay out of the hurricane floodwaters. All right? There. That's it. Little Daddy Jesse session. Chris just had to clear things up for everybody. Let's get to the emails. Dear Mr. Mini Mittens, how's it possible that Corey has been there no less than a week and there hasn't been a single disparaging statement out of your mouth? Is he some sort of a saint? Or have you discovered some sort of soft spot in your old age? Better get an extra shot of chalk for you. This month marks 2 years since I found your show. Happy anniversary to me. We have been way too nice to Corey, haven't we? You know what it is? Here's what it is. Michael left, and we had to go on the search for a producer, and that sucks. And then once you find one in this day and age, because you can't ever just find someone you like and hire them, you have to, I've got to do this, and we got to put you through the training. So it feels like it was about 25 years ago we were trying to find Corey after Michael left. Chris was doing it all himself. And Chris, you know, he's not particularly great when he doesn't have much to do. And then he was overwhelmed. And so now I think the problem is we're so happy to have him here. What's that old saying? Any port in a storm? We're just so happy to have a warm body. We're looking over his clear deficiencies, which are pretty glaring the longer you look. But we're happy to have you here, Corey. Welcome. Welcome to the team. Anyway, It is October 7th. It is the anniversary. I was thinking about this. Think about 9/11, what it was to us, what it is to us, what it is to me. That was 3,000 people, give or take, in a country of 300 million. On October 7th, a year ago, Israel lost 1,000 for a country of 8 million, 9 million. I don't want a disaster compare, right? But just trying to drive home, October 7th isn't something that's going to go away in the minds of an Israeli person. That's going to be there forever for the rest of their lives. That's that kind of scale it is. And they're suffering right now to this day. To this day, you have Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. You saw they just launched something against the Houthis. It's a mess. And the people are the ones who are suffering. Help them if you can. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're over there on the ground. Food, shelter, safety for those in need. They're the ones doing the work. If you can help them, please. 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. Okay. We have to discuss losing all your money, hurricanes, and ICE. There's still a ton to unpack. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you miss us, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You want to leave a voicemail, you can. 877-377-4373. That's enough of the heavy stuff for a few. Let's focus on something. You haven't heard anything about this today? I have been, I don't want to say giddy, because honestly, that sounds
Why
a little...
Why are you gay?
But it's been a great day for me. I've been excited. Why? Red Lobster has some new management. And I heard him give a little interview today. I have some concerns about some things that I've heard here. But overall, feeling pretty positive about the future of high-end seafood. Here's a little bit from the new CEO of Red Lobster.
Food quality is very good at Red Lobster. It has been since it's...
It has been, absolutely. I'll let him start that again just because it's so true.
Food quality is very good at Red Lobster. It has been since its inception.
What are you rolling your eyes for, Chris? He just started. The food quality is very good at Red Lobster anyway.
Food quality is very good at Red Lobster. It has been since its inception. Now, the menu's gotten too big, so we're going to reduce.
I'm actually going to agree with him there on the menu being too big. You know, you want to stick with what you're good at. I'll tell you, this is something that I struggle with doing media for a career, which is a pretty important job. I think we all can acknowledge that I'm a very important person. But when you do media for a career, I do radio and TV now. The thing is, everyone always wants you to do something else because there's always something else you can do. Hey, maybe you should write another book. Maybe you should go on a tour, do this. Maybe you should do that. You should have any merchandise. But I just want to stick with what I'm good at. I don't want an empire. I don't want a production company. I don't want to be a billionaire. I don't want to, hey, you know, something happens. You should do a new video every 5 seconds. I don't want to do any of those things. Stick with what you're good at. Compartmentalize your life. The new head of Red Lobster agrees with me. The menu got too big. I didn't need all these extra things. When you are delivering shrimp scampi of that quality, when your cheese sticks are the best in the restaurant industry, you don't need 10 new appetizers. You need a lobster pizza, some mozzie sticks, some shrimp, some lobster. So I agree. I think he's nailing
it. Just the menu, but in a very intelligent way.
Do you think you guys might need to close more restaurants?
We intend to be done closing restaurants. Mm-hmm. Intend to grow from here.
Grow from here.
Look at that. Nothing but looking up. Nothing but looking up. So
in terms of the business, right? Uh-huh. There's going to be investments in the product that will take time. Infrastructure investment takes time. Technology.
Just wanted to drive that point home. It takes time to see these changes. If you're looking for the new improved Red Lobster, it's coming. Just give him some time. Be patient.
Investment takes time. There's 545 restaurants. So fixing every broken HVAC and every torn carpet and every chair that needs replacing will take time. But the impact should be felt right away.
What a success story. 540 plus restaurants. It speaks to the quality of it more than anything else. And I wanted him to elaborate a little bit more.
When you saw Endless Shrimp, you know, what did you think?
So that's a very expensive product to give away endlessly. When you have Endless Shrimp and people are coming in and sitting down at the table and eating for hours as much shrimp as they possibly can, you stress out the kitchen, you stress out the servers, you stress out the host, people can't get a table. It creates a lot of chaos, and you saw a lot of that.
Are you glad that Endless Shrimp is done? Was that pretty crazy?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I played this last part just because I thought we should have a hard talk before we get back to politics and things. You know, we like to blame other people when things go wrong. I do. You do. It's human nature. We don't like to take accountability. But have you taken any ownership for what happened to Red Lobster? What did you do when Endless Shrimp got here? Did you have an appropriate amount of Endless Shrimp? Or did you go and abuse this American institution to the point they had to file bankruptcy? You know, we talk about this when it comes to politics. We've done this before, how the different demographics, we can act like it's all on the policies, all on the politicians, but the truth is each side is at fault. You know, men don't vote for Democrats, they vote for Republicans. Why? Well, we feel like Democrats hate us, and they do. And Democrats feel like they're hated by men, so they kind of only campaign towards women. So again, there's fault all around, right? When it comes to Red Lobster, you can blame their business practices. You can say maybe they got a little underwater when it comes to debt. What did you do when Endless Shrimp got here? Have you taken any ownership of that? The next time you walk into Red Lobster, are you going to act like a civilized human being or some kind of savage who eats 55 shrimp in a single sitting? In fact, I would ask all of us, you know, how we all have to contribute to save our country. That involves running for office, getting involved at a local level, becoming an activist. When you walk into Red Lobster, clean something. It only takes a second out of your day to pick something up off the floor. When your waitress asks you if you want seconds, order seconds. But don't take part in any all-you-can-eat stuff. It's all of our job to support Red Lobster the way they support us. Don't be a spectator in the life of Lobster. Get involved. Dig in. Let's all make sure this thing is the rousing success we all know it's going to be. They'll go right back to the pinnacle where they belong. Now, let's do a little talk about flood illegals. What should be done to people who loot during floods? We'll do some emails. Going broke and flying Spirit Airlines. I swear those are separate stories. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And remember that talk we had earlier about how we were making fun of Dome and how inept and stupid she was. And essentially what I said was we can laugh and we should laugh, mock these people, but don't fool yourself into thinking this is a Kamala Harris problem. This is a United States of America problem. We reached the Y in the road. We left merit behind. And the entire country, critically important institutions, have now traveled down the road where they act as if this stuff matters. We can lie to ourselves, and we do because it makes us sleep better at night, and convince ourselves that this stuff will blow over, or that if if you go high enough up the food chain, well, yeah, this guy's a clown, this guy's a DEI hire, this guy's a moron. But if things get really, really serious, then of course somebody competent will step in. But all that is cope, because competence doesn't exist in many of these institutions anymore. The institution has been redirected to be something it's not supposed to be, because it got occupied and taken over by communists, and now it's only an institution that serves communism. The Secret Service is only worried about protecting the Secret Service, not Donald Trump. The FBI is only worried about covering for the Bidens and throwing you in prison. FEMA, they're not worried about disaster relief. They're not focused on disaster relief. They're worried about LGBTQIA crap. And you think to yourself, if you travel high enough up the chain in FEMA, sure, you have this guy who's a moron and this guy who's a moron. But if we get high enough up the chain, surely if it got bad enough, I'll run into this guy who would really take over, because he really knows what to do. And I'm here to explain to you that guy doesn't exist. You live in a world of make-believe, and I do when I convince myself, surely this general's an idiot and he only hired this colonel because the guy's gay, but surely above that general, if things got bad enough, someone would step in. Someone's gone. There's nobody else to step in. And I want to give credit where it's due to Libs of TikTok, because this is her find. It is not my find. The Air Force, they're implementing a feminist studies program. Who you're going to hear from here is a Dr. Kelly Atkinson. She's not only a political scientist, she's an Air Force Reserve officer. I want you to listen. It's about a minute and 15 seconds long. I want you to listen to this Air Force Reserve officer. You see, you and me, I'll point fingers at me. I've convinced myself several times. I'm so frantic about the rot in our military that I've convinced myself, okay, whatever. If World War III actually broke out, they would set all this DEI stuff aside and the this aside and that aside. And surely the good war fighters, who are surely still there, the master strategic thinkers, who are surely still there, they'll push all these idiots aside when things get really, really important. And then we will be focused on winning wars. I've convinced myself of that a million times, but I'm wrong. You want to hear about the strategic thinking? Oh, please.
Meanwhile, the Air Force developed a program where they wanted to send junior officers to grad school for 3 years to get a PhD at a civilian institution, to grow and develop networks with non-military thinkers. And then once you finish that degree, you would come back into the military operational assignment structure and use those connections and that strategic thinking to shape military strategic policy. So that's actually what I did. I applied for that PhD program. The Air Force sent me to Ohio State. It's the first time I studied political science, the first time I studied critical feminist studies, and I loved it. And I was able to really think about these broad concepts.
Pause 1 second. Pause 1 second. I just real quick pause there. Just to make sure you heard her. The United States Air Force sent her to Ohio State to get her PhD so she could train up in other areas. And the area she studied was critical feminist studies. Oh, please continue.
And I loved it. And I was able to really think about these broad concepts like grand strategy and realism and liberalism and all these political science ideas behind war. And I also studied feminist critical thinking, which is one of the impetuses behind this piece that you mentioned. So I got that training and then I came back into active duty and was lucky enough to be assigned to the Air Force Academy, where I was teaching political science. And that's really where I had the space and the room to think about these topics and to write about these topics and to teach amazing people, amazing cadets who would go on to become officers.
Surely when you get to the highest levels, we're going to run into some competence. But that's a lie, you see. She's currently at the United States Air Force Academy, one of, if not the most prestigious military institutions on planet Earth. And this expert in critical feminist studies is teaching the next generations of Air Force cadets how to be good little man-hating, America-hating feminists. We lie to ourselves when Dome fritzes out on a teleprompter and we tell ourselves it's a Kamala Harris issue, it's a Democrat issue. Surely there are still experts somewhere in this given field. But once you as a nation hook a left at that Y in the road, you set merit aside and you decide, no, we're going to go for equality and equity. And we have to be nicer to women. And are we gay friendly? And once you travel down that road, it only ends with death and misery. And did you ever, we've actually brought up this scene before. I want to encourage you to watch something. It's not even a book. It's not even fiction, even though it is a series. The series is Chernobyl. It's on HBO, Chernobyl. I don't remember if it's kid-friendly. I'm sure the language is bad, and it's not, Chris. Okay, so okay, never mind. Not kid-friendly. Just keep that in mind. But there are so many wonderful things in it, and it's not just the story, which is very accurate, about Chernobyl, but the inadequacies of government people. One of the early scenes, I think it was in episode one, if not episode two, where all the people who worked at the nuclear plant, the government people, all the most important people, the people you would call when everything went wrong, they all gathered together in this meeting. What do we do? There's a fallout. How do we say this? What do we do here? And there just aren't any experts left. Because when you have a country that has hooked a left at that Y in the road, then you've spent year after year after year handing out positions to friends, political allies, when you've prioritized other things rather than merit, and you've spent years filling up your government, all of your critical institutions with whoever happens to serve the party, whoever's my brother's cousin's wife's uncle when he needs that role, when the beep finally hits the fan and there's a blow up at a nuclear facility, and oh my gosh, someone call in an expert, you find yourself in a table full of men looking at each other saying, okay, who's the expert? And there aren't any left, you see. And this is happening to our beloved country, yours and mine. That's the truth. All right. I teased it and then I never got to it. I got kind of sidetracked by that other thing. Let's talk about the looters in the hurricane areas and Spirit Airlines and, another arms dealer out on the loose. Let's also talk about Pure Talk. I feel good when I talk about Pure Talk, mainly because of how icky I feel about all the years I spent giving to Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. AT&T was my first ever cell phone company. First ever cell phone. I remember it's some little flip phone. Shut up, Chris. Little flip phone. And then from there, it was Verizon. And then from there, it was T-Mobile. I have funded all the communism you can imagine. I've done it all. Not anymore. I have Pure Talk now. In fact, they just sent me a brand new iPhone 16. Thank you, Pure Talk. I have Pure Talk. It takes 10 minutes for you to switch. Pure Talk doesn't support any dirty commie garbage. Pure Talk loves you, loves this country. Their freaking CEO walked the jungles of Vietnam, Mac V Sog, two tours. How could a cell phone company be this patriotic? That's how. Why do they hire Americans? That's why. And you pay less. Same coverage, same 5G network. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's been an amazing Monday. Email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can call. Leave a voicemail. No one's going to answer. 877-377-4373. Where are we at as a country? Here's a headline from the New York Post. 8 migrant workers accused of looting flood-ravaged Tennessee following Hurricane Helene. The federal government They will sit on their hands while you lose everything. And then after you've lost everything, the barbarians the federal government brought into your country on purpose will pillage what's left of your home before they bring any aid to you. That is just a chef's kiss for where we are as a country. That is exactly where we are. Oh, speaking of Dome and her election, this has been making the rounds. She did a podcast called the Call Her Daddy podcast. As you may imagine, I'm unfamiliar with it, but from what I get, it's huge in, I don't know, I guess leftist circles, but it went about as well as you'd expect.
Can we try to think of any law that gives the government the power to make a decision?
I know what you're going to ask.
About a man's body.
Let's no. Just
pause. No. Is there any law?
No. No. It's no.
No laws that govern a man's body, huh? I'm sure all those guys who got drafted and sent to Vietnam listening to the sound of my voice have a little bit of pushback on such things. Oh, yeah. And she said this.
I saw the governor of Arkansas said, "My kids keep me humble." Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble. How did that make you feel?
I don't think she understands that there are a whole lot of women out here who, one, are not aspiring to be humble. Two, a whole lot of women out here who...
They brag about the things you detest. I'm not aspiring to be humble. And ladies, I wanted to do this as a little PSA. And I do this PSA for young women mainly because young women are uniquely susceptible to societal norms. Young women are uniquely susceptible to societal cancers. That's why young women are the most loyal communists in America. Married women aren't, single men aren't, married men aren't. Young women, it's like 70% all commies. And it was the same in China. It was the same in the Soviet Union. Young women get eaten up by societal pressures and they turn into full-blown tyrannical murderous commies. And so, young ladies, I understand that maybe you are going down that path right now, or maybe you're tempted to go down that path. Maybe you left mom and dad's warm embrace and you're at college and you're learning just how oppressed you've been your whole life. And that's fine. I'm not going to talk you out of it. Whatever. That's fine. Go enjoy yourself. I will let you know this, though, and you'll be mad at me about this. I don't care. Remember, you can send me an email. That's fine. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ladies, remember, nobody likes a feminist. Nobody. Even other feminists hate feminists because women, one of your gifts God gave you, women have a unique influence on the emotions of any given room. They do. They do. A room full of, why do you, at a fancy party, who's waiting tables? Who's bringing around hors d'oeuvres? A bunch of dimes who are smiling because it sets the mood for the room. Your wife, she walks into a party on a Friday night. You guys spent the whole way over there laughing. She goes in all smiles, joking, brings up the mood of the entire room. You fought the whole way over there. She walks in with that sourpuss look on her face. It's like a dark cloud walked in. Women govern the emotions of a room more than men do. And ladies, no one likes a bitter woman. She's awful to be around. She's a drag. I know all your friends have convinced you that you're wrong for being hot and you should chop all your hair off and buy an Outback and dye your hair blue and gain 55 pounds. And I'm here to tell you, everyone's going to hate you if you do that. Everyone. No one's going to be around you, and you'll find yourself 10 years from now, single, miserable, blaming the men, blaming the country, and committing yourself to burning down the entire United States of America. All right? All right. Also, you probably want to murder your baby. They love that. What a question. Laws governing her body. It's not your body. It's your baby.
Can we try to think of any law that gives the government the power to make a decision?
I know what you're going to ask.
About a man's body.
These two hags just giggling about killing babies. Our fight is a cultural one. It's a fight Preborn is knee-deep into. It's a fight I intend to help them fight. And I know you do too. They love you. You know that every time I get with Preborn, they talk about the Jesse Kelly Show listeners and how committed you are. And thank you for it. $28 buys an ultrasound. That's what it does. When a young lady has committed to have an abortion, she's seeking one out. Preborn tries to find her and offer her that ultrasound first before she can do it. Because if she can hear the heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time. $28 buys a life. That $28 you send in tonight, that's a five-year-old starting kindergarten 5 years from now. That's real. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go save a life. Every dime is tax deductible. Give whatever you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Go save a life.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Spirit Airlines stock plummets on a report of a potential bankruptcy firing. I just can't believe that. An airline that's run as well as Spirit Airlines, I can't believe they're not making ends meet with the lovely waitresses, stewardesses, matched only by the lovely clientele having a bar brawl at the gate. I can't believe it's not working out for them. Victor Boot freed in Brittany Griner swap, now arming Yemen's Houthis. Yes, that's right. The arms dealer. They made a movie loosely based on his life called Lord of War. The moron communists who run the country found out that Russia was holding captive a WNBA lesbian, and because rainbow crap is the only thing that governs this country, we decided to turn loose the world's foremost arms dealer in exchange for someone who scores 7 points a game, I'm guessing on that. Victor Boot promptly went back to arming the people who will spend the rest of their lives trying to murder you, and that's why you don't elect communists. Al Pacino says he starred in Jack and Jill because, quote, I had no money. Apparently, he lost all the money because he was screwed over by his money manager. And every time I read one of these stories, they fascinate me. It fascinates me. People who have it all and then lose it all. And the whole money manager thing. I just want to think, if somebody was blowing the money I have in the bank, I feel like I would know. But I guess maybe if you get rich enough, you don't know. Toyota revokes DEI policies amid pressure from a conservative campaign. That's Robbie Starbuck again getting corporations to bend the knee. You don't bend the knee. Keep your chin up. And we'll do this again tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.